Daf Kuf. So let's take it the last two lines of Tzadi Tes Amin Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, Pshita li maim agavi maim. It's Pashit, that if there's water on top of water, Hainu Hanachas, and that's called Hanacha, which means, let's say Rashi explains, and the last Rashi in the page here, Hainu Hanachasan, Vim Nato Miktsasan Vahoti Havi Akira. If a person, what that means is, for there to be an initial Akira, that object, that Chefta must rest on something. So let's say this sitter, the sefer, it's resting. So now since it's resting, if I do an akira, that's an akira. So water, that's on top of water, which means you have a puddle of water, a cup of water. By me, scooping up some water, that's an akira, because currently, since the water is resting on top of other water, that's already a hanacha. So picking it up would be an akira. However, egos agabi maim, if there's a nut that's on top of water, floating on top of water, there we say lav hainu hanachas, and that is not considered rested. Because since the nut kind of floats around, it's not the same material, same substance of the water, so that's considered moving still, and that's not called hanach. And Rashi explains in the top line on Daf Kuf here, lav hayinu hanachasan vim natla misham. If you take it off of there, lav akira, that's not called an akira. So it's interesting. Rashi says in both cases, even though the Gemara is referring to hanacha, we're really describing whether it's an initial akira or not. Rabbeinu Chanan on the side here, he says, no, we're talking about if you did a ha'anacha, is it called anacha? Meaning, initially the case was when you put water down in water, is that a ha'anacha? If you put an egg on top of water, would that be a ha'anacha? So Rabbeinu Chanan seems to understand that Pashup Shat here as whether it's a ha'anacha or not. Rashi is talking about whether it's an akira from a place that was once a ha'anacha. That's a machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Chanan. Now, the Chazon Yechezkel explains the difference between akira and hanacha here. He says that when it comes to a hanacha, so you have to, his understanding is, you need to have a place that's objectively a hanacha. We spoke about in the first parak, dalad, you need something that's defined as a makom hanacha. When it comes to an akira, however, he says, other way around. He says, by hanacha, you could say achshave, that you could put something down where in your mind, subjectively, that could be called a hanacha. So that's not an objective understanding. Subjectively, achshave, I thought this was a hanacha. When it comes to the world of akira, he says, however, that akira, you can't apply achshave, because it has to be in the context that's objectively considered a hanacha. If I'm doing a hanacha on my own, so I could create something. If I'm doing an akira, the background must be that it's been already rested objectively, and now akshari doesn't apply to an akira from a place of hanacha. It's a little bit confusing, but without the Chazon Yechezkel, there just very simply is a machlokas between Rashi and Bein Hananel, whether the Gemara is describing a hanacha or we're describing a akira. Now, Sfas Emes points out that we must be describing water that's deeper than three tvachim. Because if it's less than three tvachim, we have the din of lavud. So let's have a little thing of water here. So even though maybe the egos is on top of water, but since it's going to be three tvachim close to the bottom of the ground, it's lavud. It's as if it's already resting on the ground there. But if it's three tvachim or more, we can't say lavud. So therefore, we're only talking about the egos of the mind with respect to the water that's floating. But again, if it's less than three tvachim, we can ignore the water, and it's ki'ilu its place on the ground itself that's right below. That's what the Sfas Emes says. No, water is the same thing. Water and water is the same. So water and water, it's the same substance. That's vade hanacha.
Right, so I'm saying talking about from the akira aspect. That's vade akira. You're taking something
with
two separate things. Why is that vade akira?
Right. Let's go vade. I don't want to get stuck on this. We'll talk about it afterwards. The Gemara says, Bai rava egos bichli. But if let's say if an egg goes inside a kli, and the kli is safa gavi maim, the kli is on top of the water, floating on top of the water, so they have an egos inside a kli, inside a water. So now, do we say, Mahu, do you say the egos is a hanacha? Because the egos is being placed in the kli. So relative to the kli, the egos rest in the kli. But relative to the water, the egos are really floating around. So what do you say here? Mahu. Mi amrina, do we say, basra egos aslina and v'hanayich? You go based on the egos, and the egos is resting. It's resting in the kli. Oh, dilma basra kli aslina, and perhaps you go based on the kli, and the kli is v'halov nayich. It's not resting, it's busy floating and moving around the water. And the Gemara ends off with a take. Gemara now says, Vaiter. There's actually an interesting din here. There's a well-known taz here. The guy has a fly floating around in his wine, had to take out the fly. So the Shari Tshuva quotes Machlokas, the Mahri Tatz, says you can just take out the fly. There's no borer issue. There's no tarovah. So fly is floating on top, just take out the fly, throw it out. The Taz says, no, there's an issue of Borer here, so therefore you have to scoop out the fly with some wine, and this way you're not separating Psolos from Ochel, you're taking the Ochel from the Ochel, and that's not a violation. So there's a Shita of Yaakov, if you saw Yaakov, Chagiz has a Sefer, and he says the following. He thinks there's a Raya from here that's not a problem of Borer. Why? Because we said that the Egos that's floating on top of the water, that's not Hanacha. It's busy floating around, so there's no Hanacha. So he says, just like Hotzah, Akir Hanacha, a floating around thing is not the same as the water, it's not mixed together, it's still moving, so too it's not considered a Taroves, and not considered Borer. That's what he says. It's not Borer because it's not the same. It's floating on top. It's completely separate. The Taz argues, Taz doesn't explain why, but the Taz understood that this would be considered Tairovas, and therefore picking the fly out would be a violation of Borer.
That's specific to liquid. That theory that something and a liquid are not a Tairovas.
No, but...
Liquid, I mean,
no, they're both solids and liquids here, because the nut is a solid to a liquid, and the fly is.
Theory about taking Borer, that it's not Borer, it's not a Tarobas. Is he saying that because the fly in the wine is a solid and a liquid? And he's saying here also it's a solid and a liquid. So you can never have a mixture of a solid and a liquid.
He said no, because it's a floating on top, because it's on top of it. That's why.
So anytime you have something floating.
Exactly,
top,
yeah, yeah. Exactly. So then the Gemara says, four lines down the top here, Shemen Agabe Yain, let's say you have oil on top of wine. These are now two liquids. But they're completely separate from each other. Oil and wine, they'll mix. So Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Rabbanan, they argue, Tanan Shemen Shetzafa Gavi Yain, oil on top of wine, V'noga Tivol Yom B'Shemen, a Tivol Yom who's Tame, a Parshi Tame, if he touches oil, lo, B'Pasol El Shemen. He only is Metame the oil, because since the oil and wine don't mesh together, they're two different entities. It's like me touching the table, I'm Metame the table, but I'm not Metame the, tablecloth, but not the table, whatever the thing is. They're two different entities. But according to Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Shneim Chibur Zelazeh, they're both connected, and therefore, if you're Metame the oil, Memela, you're Metame the wine as well. So this is talking about the Metame Tumas Tivayom, but the Gemara clearly thinks that they're connected here, and therefore, this Machlok is whether there is a Hanacha, meaning if you place Shemen on top of wine, is that considered rested or not? Water and water, they mix together, that's rested. But since Shemen and Yain stay separate, that's the Machlok is whether or not they're considered Chibur or not. So whatever they say by Tivayom, they would say the same exact thing by Hotza. Gemara now says further, Amar Abayin. Bored Birshus Harabim Amuka Asara Virachba Shmona. You have a bore, a pit in Rishus Harabim. It's 10 Tvachim deep and 8 Amos wide. So if it's that's a Rishus Yachid. Rishus Yachid, you need 8, rather, you need 4 by 10. 10 Tvachim high or 10 Tvachim deep, and 4 by 4 is the area of Amos. But here it's 8 Amos, which is fine. But what happens is, Zarek Latocha Machatel, so you throw inside a mat. Chayv, you're chayv, because it's going from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So that's a normal case. But Chilka Mechatzel, so let's say you throw the mat and it lands directly in between. It splits the pit in half. So now you have a 4x4 on each side. But you took the 8, almost split into 4, but it's really less than 4 because now the Mechatzel takes up some space. So it's really, let's call it 3.9 almost on each side and 3.9 on this side. And Mechatzel is in the middle dividing them. They're now each independently less than Rosh Hashanah. Which means when you threw the machatzelos, you created, you separated, you nullified the rishus yachid. Are you now chayv or you pater? Because when you threw it, you created, you ruined the rishus yachid at the same time. So the Gemara says you're pater because the moment you threw it, it rested at the same exact time. You also undid rishus yachid, and therefore not a problem, not a chiv chatas. So the Abaye, the Gemara says, according to Abaye, he held pshitalei the machatzelos mevat lemechitza. It was pashut him. It was certain to him. That Machatzelos has the ability to cancel out a Mechitza. That he knew for sure. Kol Shekein Chulya Mevatla Mechitza. Certainly, if a person put dirt in a pit, that certainly would be Mevatel Mechitza. So if he felt a mat would be Mevatel a pit's Mechitza, so to dirt, which is part of the ground, that's certainly a bitum. But the Rabbi Yochanan, the Mibarle Chulya, he himself was unclear where the Chulya, where the dirt has the ability to be Mevatel a pit. Machatzelos pshita de lo mevatel mechitza. In the world of Rabbi Yochanan, it was obvious to him that Machatzelos certainly cannot be mevatel the mechitza. So this discussion of Abaye was only in the world of Abaye, but Rabbi Yochanan would think otherwise. The Gemara now says, "Vamar Abaye." Abaye says, "Bor b'rishis rabim amuka sara." If you have a pit in b'rishis rabim, which is 10 tefachim deep, v'rach ba'arba, it's 4 amos wide, mulei amayim, if it's full of water, v'zark l'tochi, throw inside of it, it's chayiv. Because even though there's water filling up the pit's still considered a Rishus HaYachid. And you're throwing from Rishus Rabim to Rishus HaYachid, the water is not Mevatel, the poor. But Melea Peros, if the pit is full of fruit, the Zarek Latochi throw an item inside the pit full of fruit, Pater. Why is that Pater? Why? By if the pit's full of water, it's still a pit. But if it's full of fruit, it's not a pit anymore. It's not a Rishus HaYachid anymore. So my time, what's the reason? Mayim lo mevatel mechitza. So water is not mevatel mechitza, but peros are mevatel mechitza. So fruit are mevatel mechitza. So what's the svar? The Gemara doesn't explain the svar. So the Meiri says because when there's water there, you're still able to use the pit. A person can still access. You could lower, who knows what, you could put something in there. It's still usable. But if you have it full of fruit, there's no way to use the pit anymore. The pit is done. That's the Meiri's understanding. The Magen Mishnah says the difference is the ability to see. Water, you could see through the bottom of the water. So since it's visible, it still has a chalo shame of Rishus HaYachid. But fruit, you can't see the bottom with the fruit there, and therefore the fruit being there is mevatel Rishus HaYachid. In theory, a nafkamina would be if the water was very dirty, let's say. So if the water is dirty, you could still use the pit somehow. You could put something down there. But if you can't see the bottom of it, according to the Magen Mishnah, that would seemingly mevatel the Rishus HaYachid. Then now the Gemara quotes a Braisa to support this distinction that Tani, the Braisa says that Hachanami, Tani Nami Hachi, Hazorik min Hayam li Isratya. You throw from the water to Isratya. Isratya is some type of Rishus HaRabim. You throw from the water, which is a karmless, to Rishus HaRabim, or min Isratya liyam, or from the Rishus HaRabim to the water, you're Pater. Because Rishus HaRabim to karmless, or vice versa, is a Pater from Zorik. It's only Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, but if it's a karmless here, then it would be Pater. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im yesh b'makum shezarek amok asara, if the water that you're throwing to, even though normally water is karmless, but let's say you're throwing to an area where it's 10 tfachim deep, rachav arba, and it's 4x4 amos wide, that would be a bor, even though there's water, that would be a bor beneath the water, and still has its status of Rishus HaYachid, according to Rabbi Shimon, and would be subject to a chiv chatas. Take a look on the Tosu on the top here, in Daf Kuf here, Kuf Amin Aleph, the Tosu says, we said before that fruit is mevat of the bor. Zevim Tomar, Umayshna Medvela. Why is this different from the Dvela, a fig cake? Shemena, a very fat fig cake. Shedamina Le'el de Lom Mevala. We said above that if you throw a fig cake on Daf Zayin, that doesn't ruin the Chaloshem Kosel. Because it's not Mevatel. So why by the Dvela, we say the Dvela is not Mevatel a Mechitza, but fruit is Mevatel, fruit are Mevatel a Mechitza. What's the difference? So if you jump down to Tosfos, four lines, V'yesh Lomar, the Dvela Eino Omedes Kolkach Lizbatel Sham B'Kosel. When you throw a fig cake against the wall, how long is it going to stay there for? Okay, it stays for some time, but it's not there mevatel forever, and therefore there's no bitul by dvela. Kamoshir gilin lebata peros bebor kein tvu. When you put fruit in a pit, you put grain in a pit, it's there to store for a while, for a long time, weeks and months, who knows how long. That was like the refrigerator. So you put in the fruit and in the bor for a while, that's a bitul. A dvela, you throw a cake on the kosel, you're not leaving there for a long period of time. So therefore there's no bitul. It depends on how long you plan on leaving it there for. That's the chilek between peros and dvela. But then he says, inami, dvela davar muatu flo mevatel. Depends on the size of the item. A fig cake isn't that big. So the size, not how long you're leaving it for, but the size of the chefza. About bor mali peros, a bor full of fruit, or even a chetza, half of it, that's a serious amount of food, that would be mevatel rishus HaYachid. V'huadin, the same would be true if you degir in echad or davar muat or something, a small pit or seed, or something else small, lo mevatel rishus HaYachid. So it depends on the size of the chetza. The first answer depends on the zaman, the second answer depends on the size of the chefetz we're describing. So back inside the Gemara, the new Mishnah begins, the halfway down, kuf, and aleph, the Gemara says, and the Mishnah says as follows, that hazorik arba amos, Bakosa, a person throws into 4 amos onto a wall. If it's lemal mesar, if it's stuck on the wall 10 tfachim above 10 tfachim, it's kizorik ba'avir. So we're describing a case in Rishus HaRabim. You throw in the Rishus HaRabim. Normally, goes down amos and lands your chay v'chatas for zorik in Rishus HaRabim. If you throw it and lands onto a wall and it's now stuck above 10 tfachim, we said above Rishus HaRabim does not exceed 10 tfachim. So since it's hovering there, it's stuck in the air. You have not been chay v'chatas. If, however, you throw it in the lematim yasar, it sticks below 10 tefachim, that's kezarek ba'aretz, like throwing on the ground. And hazarek ba'aretz, the one who throws on the ground, ba'aretz, arba amos, 4 amos, into Rishus HaRabim, such a person is chayv. So we saw already, this Mishnah quoted before, the distinction between above 10 tefachim is not a Rishus HaRabim, yet below 10 tefachim would be a Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara says, v'halo noch, but it didn't stop. It didn't rest. It fell on the wall and it fell down to the floor. And the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'dveila shmeina shaninu. We're talking about a very fatty, oily, sticky fig cake. When we throw it, it sticks to the wall, and yes, it does remain above 10 tefachim. If, however, it were to drop onto the ground, in Echanami, that would be a chiv chatas. But we're talking about where it gets stuck to the wall. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Rabbi Chia, Zarek lemala me'asara tefachim. Let's say you throw it above 10 tefachim. V'halcha v'nach b'chor kolshu. Now it rests in a little hole. So that hole, however, is not a Rosh Hashanah. It's a tiny little hole. It's on a wall, top of the wall, let's say. And it fell into a little gap. If that gap was 10 tefachim deep and dal by dal amos, that would be a Rosh Hashanah, and you'd be chayv from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah. But here, it's a tiny hole in a wall. That's not a Rosh Hashanah in its own right. But the Gemara says it still comes to the Banu, the Machlokas, Rabbi Meir, Rabbanim. It depends on the Machlokas elsewhere between Rabbi Meir, Rabbanim. What's the context here? We're talking about a mezuzah. Now, for a mezuzah to be chayv in the Pesach, or the opening, it has to be 10 tefachim high. Let's say in my house, those who've been there, I have an arch in a couple of my entranceways. Not in my house, but inside like my dining room, there's a little archway. The archway, it's very low down. My mezuzah is very low down, if you've noticed it. So you have to really have 10 tefachim high and doorposts on each side. But let's say it's carved out. Let's say it's an arch, so it's not 10 tefachim high. So do you have to put a mezuzah there? So if you look at the Rashi, then we'll look back in the Gemara. Rashi quotes Rabbi Meir, Rabbanan, defligu b'chokikim lahashan. They argue, if in theory there's room to carve out 10 tefachim in an arch, will that, do you view that as halachically being carved out? So the Gemara says in the first parak of Yuma Daf Yud Aleph, Ube'erim Evin Daf Yud Aleph as well, interestingly, the Rabbi Meir, Damer Chokikin Lahashim B'makom Sheish Kedei Lachok Hacha Chayv. He says that if there's an area that in theory you could carve out in the wall, 10 tefachim, even though currently there's an arch there, you'd be chayv to place a mezuzah. Here as well, there's a hole in the koza, but since there's enough material you could have carved out a Rosh Hashanah Yachid in the wall, you'd be chayv here as well. You view that theoretical ability to carve it a hole as being there right now. And the Rowan says, Rashi, hachor kilu hu arba. You view the hole as being arba, arba amos. The Gemara, Rabbanan say, no, we don't say that. Look back inside the Gemara. The Gemara now says again, banu l'machlok is Rabbi Meir Rabbanan. The Rabbi Meir, damar, he holds, chokikin lahashim, that you can carve out holes. In theory, you could view that as being currently carved out. You'd be mechayiv in this case if the hole in the wall, if there's enough wall material to carve out a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. But according to Rabbanan, Damri ein chokikin lahashim lo mechayiv. You don't view a halachas of mezuzah as it's the ability to carve out a wall. And therefore, here as well, you don't view the ability to carve out a hole the size of Rosh Hashanah Yachid either, and you'd be potter in this case.
I'm sorry, but the current case is that there is, it's like the drawing, that there is like a curved entrance, and it's less than 10 tefachim.
Exactly.
From the
bottom to the top, it's less than 10 tefachim. It curves out. But in theory, I could carve out in the wall, make there the 10 tefachim. Right. The tip of it is, the tip is 10 tefachim high. But the sides are not.
Square,
exactly. But I could carve it out to a box if I wanted.
But it has, they cannot say that unless it has 10 tefachim high.
Exactly.
Nine,
right.
Exactly.
Right. The tip has to be at least 10 tefachim.
Okay.
So the Gemara then says, Tanya Nam Yehachi, the Braisa also says, Zarek Lemala Me'asara, he threw it above 10 tefachim, V'halacha V'nacha B'chor Kolshu, it falls in a little hole. Rabbi Meir is B'chayv, like we just explained, because he holds Chokikin Lahashim, and Chachamim Potim, because Ein Chokikim Lahashim. The Gemara now quotes further Braisa, that Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, or just a statement, Tel HaMislakit Asara Mitoch Arba, so if you have a little mound, a little hill, that is 10 tefachim high over Dal Amos. So it's a little ramp, let's say, a little ramp. So it has to be a situation that if it's too flat, if the slope is very slow, so then that's called part of the ground. I mean, every place you walk, there are always going to be little bumps and little hills. If it's very, very long slope, whatever, short slope, that would be part of the Rosh Hashanah. But if it's steep enough where it goes like that, let's say, that's definitely considered a separate entity, a separate rishus. So the dimensions you need is if it's going to be a height of 10 tefachim and a dal amos on the horizontal, which is, let's view 6 tefachim for a second as an amma, that's called 24 tefachim this way and 10 tefachim this way. That's the slope we're working with, 24 by 10. So that slope, if that slope, that's considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So even though the wall isn't directly straight up, it's not vertical, it's horizontal, rather it's an angle, that would still be considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid. I'll explain why that works. There are three different definitions of why we view that as a mechitza. But the Gemara just simply says, if you have a tail, hamislakit asara, it goes a height of 10 tefachim over a distance of mitoch arba through a 4 amos distance, vizarek v'nach agabav, you throw from Rishis Rabim onto that mound, you're chai, because that's now a Rishis Hayachim. And Tani Nami Hakim, the Brisa says the same thing, and I'll explain how the tail works in a second. Let's just finish this Brisa. That a mavoi, sheshavala tocha, you have a mavoi, v'nasim majon Rishis Rabim. Now you make a little ramp entering into Rishis Rabim to the Mavoi. I have a little picture here if you want to see a picture. But again, there's Rishis Rabim here. You have a ramp entering into a Mavoi, into an alleyway. So the din is, the Gemara explains, that O Shavala Rishis Rabim V'nasa Majin Latocho, O Samavoi, either the Rishis Rabim is higher than the Mavoi, the Mavoi is higher than the Rishis Rabim, but there's a ramp that connects Rishis Rabim to the Mavoi, either going up or going down. The din is Eino Tzarech Lo Lechi V'lo Kara. You don't need a Lechi or Kara, these beams, these little markers, to remind us that the Mavoi is separate from Rishis HaRabim. We'll look at Rashi in just look at Rashi now. Rashi says, five narrow lines up, O Samavoi Eino Tzarech Lechi, a little like reminder, a little piece of wood reminding you that it's a separate area. To also gova shebetzad haPesach chavilei mechitza avagav shu mishapev holich. That ramp is viewed as a mechitza. So there's a mechitza in essence blocking the mavoi, separating from the Rishis Rabim, so you don't need an additional lechi or korah. It's only when it's a flat area, when you go seamlessly from Rishis Rabim into a mavoi, in order to remind a person, you either have to have a korah going this way, a beam going horizontally, or a lechi going vertically. But once there's a ramp with a steep enough slope, that itself serves as a mechitza, and there's no need for an additional reminder. And then the Braisa concludes that Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel Omer tel hamislakit asara mitoch arba v'zarek v'nach agaba v'chayev, because for the same reason, once it has those dimensions, it serves as a Rishis HaYachid in its own right, and therefore one who throws from Rishis HaRabim onto that mound, which is a Rishis HaYachid, would be chayev. So how does this work halachically, that this, you know, there's no wall here, just like it's a ramp. So there are three different explanations. Rav Chaim has a piece, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has a piece in Hilchos Sukkah, and he explains that each elevation is like a different wall. So it's a wall of a vertical wall here, then here's another vertical wall, then another, like tiny piece of vertical walls, and halachically we view them all as being straight. That's how we view it halachically. It's, you know, again, it's 2 inches here, 2 inches here, 2 inches sliding over.
And you would think it as lovewood.
Something like that. I'm not sure if love is at play, but something along, it's a special din. I'm not sure which mechanism he's using. Right. But somehow they're viewing them, they're close enough to each other, like love that it's viewed. But he says, once you apply that these separate pieces of the wall is now viewed as one, you can't add an additional chedesh, that good asik. Good asik means if I've got a wall 10 tefachim high, straight, we view it as touching the ceiling. So let's say by a sukkah. So if I've got 10 tefachim, and then I've got a big gap here, and the schach is above it, we view that wall as being halachically attached. But Rav Chaim says that's only true when you have a real wall. But this type of wall where it's separate from each other, that's not does not have the din of gudasik. You only have the ability to create 10 tvachim, but nothing more than 10 tvachim. That's Rav Chaim's understanding. A sefer called the Shari Tzion says, no, we view the wall actually as a full 10 tvachim. Because remember, at the highest point, at 10 tvachim high, we in theory could carve out a wall here. The wall is actually here. You can't see the wall. If you move over that slope, we have a 10 tvachim of dirt right here. So that's the wall. You just can't see it. So we would say good asik from this point, of the highest point, or where wherever the 10 tefachim begins, that's where you would say a wall, and then good asik all the way up to the top. And then finally, Chazni says, no, it's a wall that's slanted. The slope itself, that is the wall there. So the three different pshatim, how to view this inin of tel hamislachet asar mitoch arba. Right, Meir? I'm not sure if this would be din of if it would be, have the same din of a chok in lahashim. I don't know if that would be a play here, because there you're trying to create a hole there. You're not trying to create a hole.
You're okay.
The mechita exists there, just you can't see it. I think okay, it could, maybe it's connected. So the mission now in the bottom of Kuf Amin Aleph says zarek latoch dal amos v'nis galgel chutz ladal amos pater. Let's say you throw. We know already you have to throw dal amos far to be chayv. Let's say I threw it less than Dal Amos, 3.9, but it rolled after it landed. It rolled beyond Dal Amos. You're potter, because my initial Zriga landed before within Dal Amos. Let's say, however, Chutz L'Dal Amos, I threw it outside Dal Amos, and somehow Niskaga, I put a backspin on it, and it kind of spun back in within Dal Amos. So then V'Niskaga L'Toch Dal Amos, that way you'd be chai, because initially when it landed, so it landed beyond Dal Amos. So the Gemara says, V'ha Lo Nach. But it never rested. For there to be akira and a hanacha, you need a hanacha. When I put the backspin on, let's say, it never rested when it hit that part of Dal Amos. It spun in, and then it only rested within Dal Amos. So why would I be chayiv? So the Gemara says, v'hu shenacha gabi mashu. No, it rested on something briefly. It stopped, it paused, and then something rolled out. No, earthquake, wind, something caused it to roll afterwards, but there was an initial resting period in each of the cases. So the Gemara says, Tanya nami hachi, the Braisa says the same thing. Zark chutz l'dal amos, v'dachvasa haruach v'chnisasa. He threw it dal amos, then wind came and pushed it within dal amos. V'yapa pi shechazer v'otziyasa pater. Even though it was, then it went back and sent it back out again, one is pater, because I think the idea is that in this case, if you look at Rashi, v'dachvasa haruach, it didn't push the wind when it landed. It says in Rashi, when it's in the air, I threw it. There's a strong wind coming, so I had the ability, strength, in a vacuum to throw it beyond Dal Amos. But the wind pushed it back, so it ended up landing within Dal Amos at 3.9, let's say. So that's why you're putter. Even though after it fell, and then it rolled back out, since when it initially fell down, the wind pushed it pushed against my strength, therefore I'm putter. But if you have a case, Rashi is achzasa ruach mashu. Let's say I threw it only 3.9. But the wind came and pushed it outside while it was still in the air, then Alpha Pisha Chazza, even though maybe the backspin put it back inside Dal Amos after it rested, in that case, Chnisasa Chayiv, meaning we all go based on where did it land. I don't care if the wind contributed to the distance. Wherever it landed after my initial throw, if there's a small pause, a small Hanacha, that would define whether I'm Chayiv or not Chayiv.
Much.
No. That's actually a good point. We spoke about Kavana and Misasek. The guy, Dafka, wanted to go 3.9. Good question. I don't know. It's a very good question. Very good question. I don't know. We spoke about Dal Amos and 8 Amos as being relevant points. If I wanted to only throw out 3 Amos, and it went, yeah, I'm not sure. Good point.
He has, like, no Kavana.
Could be Stam. That might be the way you have to say it. Stam, wherever lands, Komasha. But that, we have to see if anyone answers this way. It's a very good question. The Gemara then says, lastly, lines of Kufam and Aleph here. Amarava toch shlosha, the Rabbanan, Tzarech Hanacha Agabe Mashu. Within 3, Rabban hold that we had the machlokas Rabban Rabbi Kiva, whether you say Kluta Kimishun Chadamya. Rabbi Kiva felt if something was in the airspace, we view it halachically as resting. So even though it passes through Rosh Hashanah, we consider it as if it rested in Rosh Hashanah. Rabban say no, it has to land to be Hanacha. So even within 3, even if within 3 trachim of the ground, we say 3 trachim of the ground is considered the ground, you still need a Hanacha. And that's Rabbanan Shita. Even if it's Toch Shlosha, says the Rabbanan, Tzarech Hanacha Agabi Mashu, it must rest on something, at least something within 3 Tvachim. So, V'kamer Leila Hashmaisa, they were saying, Yosef Maremar was sitting, V'kamer Leila Hashmaisa, who's learning the Sugya, Amr Leila Ravina, the Maremar, Ravina says, Maremar, Lav Itmar, was it not said on this, going on, I'm in Beis now, Lav Hainu Masnisim, was this not the Mishnah? And V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Shavu Shanacha Agabi Mashu, what's a Chiddush? We already know from the Mishnah that when the guy throws something and it rolls back or rolls out, it only works if it landed first. So what are we learning now? Of course you have to have a hanacha. Here's what. What are you adding here? When the Rabbanan say, Toch Shlosha, you need a hanacha. We know you need a hanacha according to the Rabbanan. There's always a need for hanacha. So the Gemara says, Amrle Miskaga Kamris. So you're talking about Miskaga, our Mishnah. Miskaga Ein Tof Lanuach. There, when something is rolling, it doesn't. It may not ever end for a long time. So there you have to have a hanacha. About high, when you throw something, that which goes up always cave into sofa lanuch is going to always come down. There will be a hanacha. So maybe there, afagav delo nach command nach dami, since it eventually will fall down, so then it won't, it doesn't need actual resting. I mean, if you're throwing something, well, I remember from physics, you know, if you could ignore gravity, so if I throw something vertically, it's going to go forever. Nothing's pulling it down. So vertically, things will always move forever until there's a pull. So miskagel, vertically, it doesn't rest ever. So you need to have a hanacha for it to finally stop. When something's going down vertically, I said horizontally. Horizontally, things go horizontally, so then it's never going to stop. So you need there to be a physical stopping point. When something's thrown vertically, well, whatever goes up comes down. So eventually, gravity is going to pull it. So even within 3 tefachim, it's going to drop in half a second. So therefore, it should be viewed as hanacha already within 3. That's what you would have thought. Therefore, kamash v'lam, that no, even though it's going to drop in a moment or so, you still need a actual hanacha for it to kick in. So just let's say in theory, let's say guy's throwing something. It's mamish like matzah Shabbos, a few seconds. So he throws it on, and it like the Shabbos ends when it's like a second before it drops, and then it drops. Would he be chayiv? I'm just thinking out loud. So lechora it should be depending on this. Since you actually need a hanacha, since it rested after Shabbos is over, even though it was within three right before Shabbos ended, seemingly the guy would be pater because you need an actual hanacha. The Mishnah now says, Hazarek v'yam, a guy throws into the water arba amos, four amos into the water, he's pater. He's pater from doing so. Im haya rakuk, the reason is because he threw into a karmel. So you have to throw into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to be chayv or to a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but not into a karmelis. Im haya, if there's a rakuk maim, a little puddle of water.
Sorry, this is within the yam, in the yam, meaning not from the shore to the yam.
This is, right? Doesn't say from, doesn't make a difference from where, either, yeah. Because it's karmelis, or karmelis either way breaks it up. Im haya rakuk maim, if there's a puddle of water, the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim mahaleches bo, and the public are walking through it, Hazorik Latocha, one who throws inside of it is Chayva Arba Amos Chayva, because that's viewed as Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Even though there's a puddle, it's not called a classical body of water like a river, like a lake, because then people are using it, they're mevatel the water. Then the Mishnah says, Kama Rakuk Maim, how big is the water have to be, the puddle? Pachlos Miasar Tvachim, it's less than 10 Tvachim, it's considered as part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim itself. If it's more than 10 Tvachim deep, that's viewed as a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, as an independent domain. Now the Mishnah seemingly says the same thing now. It repeats, Rakuk Maim, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Malachas Bo, you have a puddle of water, and the public are walking through it. Hazarek, Besocha, those who throw inside of it, or Arba Amos, is Chai, because that's viewed as Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. We just said that. We just said the same exact thing, a puddle of water and Rabbim walking through it. So the Gemara says, Amar Le Hahu Mirabanam L'Rafa. Mishma, I understand, Hiluch Hiluch, why we repeat that statement twice of two puddles and two walkings of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So I understand why it says Hiluch Hiluch, two walkings of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Shrei Zimni two times. Hakamashma, and this teaches us, Hiluch Ayidei Techak, Shmei Hiluch. Walking through a difficult area, through the puddle. People don't like to walk through water, puddle. But that's if people do it, so that's considered Hiluch. But Tashmish, Ayidei Dechak, if a person were to use something in an uncomfortable way, lo shmei tashmish, that's not called a tashmish. So we're trying to emphasize, underscore the point, that only hiluch is ayidei dechak, is called a hiluch. But if it's a tashmish, ayidei dechak, a person is using something with great efforts, that's not called tashmish. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, hiluch, hiluch, the first Rashi in this Gemara, denakit trei zimni, we have it two times, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim maleches bo, that the Rabbim walked through it. Chad lememra, de'i ein ragin lahalech, one to tell us if the Rabbim don't walk in it, it's pater, that's not called Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that body of water is not being used. V'chi ragin lahalech bo, when they do walk through it normally, you're chayv. V'yaf agav, de'hiluch ayidei dechaku, even though it's not a comfortable way to walk, still they're doing it, we accept it as a extension of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The Chad, the other Hiluch in the Mishnah, is La Sheminan, the Dafka Hiluch. Only Hiluch has the ability to say, Ayde Dechak Shme Hiluch. About Tashmish, the Rabbim, that which is used by the Rabbim, Ayde Dechak, with an uncomfortable way of using it, could go in Guma Tisha versus Rabbim, a pit that's nine Tvachim deep, that no one wants to dig down like 3 feet to, or not 3 feet, but whatever, a couple feet to use it. That's very uncomfortable. A foot or so, that's uncomfortable to use it. That we would say, Dechazi, Dafagav, Dechazi, Latsnuye, Bekumse, even though people will hide things inside it, Lo have a tashmish, lo meve have a guma, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, come a test. That's not called an extension of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, since they don't use it in a comfortable manner. So that's why hiluch is being emphasized there. Only hiluch, ayidei chak, is a hiluch, but not tashmish, ayidei chak. However, the Gemara says, Ela rakuk, rakuk, trei zimni. Why do you have to have two cases of a puddle? Why two puddles? So the Gemara says, lomali. To tell me that whether it's the winter, whether it's the summer, if the Rabbim are walking through a puddle of water, we view that as an extension of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim itself. Why? What's the chiddush? V'tzicha. Di tana chad, if we only had one of the cases, hav, I mean, I would have thought, hanimili b'mosachama, that's only in the summer months, davdi inshi demaski lakuri nafshaya. People want to get cooled off, so they walk through the puddle comfortably, they want to, but maybe in the rain. In the winter, they're already cold. They don't need to get more wet, more cold. Lo, people wouldn't walk through that. And maybe the rakuk shouldn't be viewed as an extension. Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, kamashla, no. Even in Mosa Gushamim, rakuk is called an extension of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. V'yashmin, and if he only taught the case of Bimosa Gushamim, the rainy season, that people walk through the puddles, why would they do that? Because the chayim de mitzvah, lo eich basle, they're already wet. They're walking in the rainy, whether there's a puddle or no puddle, they're pour it on, it's cold. So walking through a puddle is not going to get them any more wet than they are. So in the winter, they're willing to walk through the puddles. So Avabi Mosa Chama, whether it's dry, it's sunny out, they don't want to get all wet and dirty. Lo, maybe they wouldn't walk in Kamashlan. There are times when people want to get cooled off. So Rakuk, both in the summer and in the spring, and the winter rather, are considered an extension of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim if they in fact do walk through. So Bayi now, Amar, Itzrich, he says another reason. I would have thought, maybe only when the puddle is less than Dal Amos, people are willing to walk through. It's not so big. Aval, if the puddle is so big, is Dal Amos long and wide, maybe people don't want to walk through such a long puddle. A person is going to try to circumvent it. Even though it's Dal Amos long, people are still willing to walk through it. So the chiddush is not the seasons, according to Rava. The chiddush is the size of the puddle. And finally comes along Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says the chiddush is as follows. Rav Ashi Amar, I would have thought, only true if it's Dal Amos, would a person, we'll see in the Svar why, it's the opposite Svar. That only by Dal Amos are people willing to walk through the puddle. If it's not Dal Amos, people would say, you know what, Mifsi Mipasai, I could jump over it. It's short enough for me to jump over that, and I'll just jump over it instead of walking through it. Kamashwan, the people are walking through a puddle, even though it's very short, that would be considered an extension of Rishus Rabim. V'ozdu Rav Ashi l'tame, Rav Ashi's l'shitaso, Dama Rav Ashi, Haman d'zark nacha guda d'gamla mechayiv sheri Rabim bokim bo. If a person throws something and it lands on top of a bridge of some sort, where there's a plank that's kind of flipped on the side here, even though that's not, it's kind of in the way of the walking bridge, it's flipped over on the side, it's whatever the condition is, but people still walk over it and walk through it, that's considered an extension of Rishus Rabim. So whatever's considered an extension Rishus Rabim, that's considered that would be subject to a Chiv Chatas. Just look at Rashi for a second to explain this. Aguda de Gama, Aldaf, one of the planks on the Gesher, in the bridge, Hamuta la Rochav a Gesher, Kishar Adapim, Umuvda Mechaver. Something is different about it. It's separate, it's flipped over, something is different about it. Chayv, Yavagav Dika de Mifafse Pasu, even though people kind of jump over that plank because something's off about it. Vlamanchi Karayo, they don't place their legs on it. Ika Tuva Davriala, some do walk on top of that. And here as well, even though some jump over the puddles, since many walk through the puddles, it would be considered part of Rishus Rabim, and throwing inside of that area would be subject to a Chiv Chatas. Let's do this mission, a little bit of the Gemara, to finish off. Mission now says, Hazarik min hayam liyabasha, persons in the water throws into the land, or min hayabasha liyam, or min hayam lesfina, or min hasfina liyam, or min hasfina lechaverta, all these cases are ptura. The reason is because the water is always viewed as a karmelis. A karmelis to Rishus Rabim, your pater. So once the water is in the mixer, even though a sfin is a rishus yachid, and even though the abash is considered rishus rabim, since one of the end, either the throwing area or the recipient, is going to be the yam, a karmelis, that makes a person pater. So the Mishnah then says, svinos kshiras zubazu. A person has boats that are tied to each other. Metalt and zubazu, you could carry from one to the next, because it's two houses next to each other. Im ainuk kshiras, if they're not tied to each other. Avapisha Mukafos, even though each one is independently surrounded and have walls, Ametalton Mizulazu, you can't carry from one to the next, because since they're not tied to each other, the water in between the boats are now viewing as a karmelis, and a person can't pass from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Yachid if it's a karmelis in between, unless it's an Eruv. So for example, let's say I want to, my street in front of my house is not a Rishus Rabim, it's a karmelis. And there's my neighbor on the other side, I want to pass him. So I can't pass them because there's a karmelis. I need to make an Erev Chatzeres for us to combine each other. You can make it. Every Erev in the city is an Erev Chatzeres. There can't be a Rishus Rabim. You can't make an Erev around the Rishus Rabim. So everything here is a karmelis. That's always the first question of building an Erev. Is there a Rishus Rabim or not? If there is, you can't build an Erev. So we've already established that in Woodmere, in Five Towns, it's all a karmelis. So as long as I make an Erev around all the area, we could carry over the karmelis. But there's no Erev here. I can't carry from my house across the street to your house. So from my boat to your boat with the water in between, which is a karmelis, that would be a violation of lacking Erev Chatzeres. So that's why if they're not tied to each other, they cannot you cannot carry over one to the next. So Gemara now says, Gemara is going to describe a machlokas here, when you are on a boat and you want to draw some water up from the water, from the sea, from the ocean, how does one do this? So the Gemara has two suggestions here. Gemara says, Itmar, Svina, if you have a boat, Rav Huna Amar Motin Heimana Ziz Kolshu, you have a little plank hanging out, doesn't need any measurements, and Mimali, and fill up the water. There's no issue of anything. We'll see why in just a moment. Rav Chista Rabba bar Rav Huna Amar Amri, they say, Ose Mokum Arba Umimali. You need to actually build a plank that's 4x4, like a Rishus Yachid, and then you can fill up. Why is that? So Rav Huna,
sticking out of the boat,
exactly, over the water, hanging over the water. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna Amar Motzi Heimana Ziz Kolshu, all you have to do is have a tiny little plank hanging out over the water without any need for dimensions. Umimale, why? Kisavar Karmelis Me'ara Mashchinen Vavira Makam Ptur. So I'll say this outside, we'll read this back inside. When we say a water is karmelis, the karmelis begins at the bottom of the sea, the bottom of the ocean. So as long as the water is 10 tefachim above, karmelis cannot exceed 10 tefachim, just like Rishis Rabim. So from here to here, that's a karmelis. But if the karmelis of the water begins at the sea bottom, so now if the water is above 10 tefachim, the water itself is the avir of karmelis, and avir of karmelis is not a karmelis itself. So as long as since you start the 10 tefachim at the bottom of the ocean, so as long as your sea is above 10 tefachim, you're fine. So then you could pull water directly up from the water, because that's not karmelis anymore. So Malkum Patur. Malkum Patur to Rosh Hashanah is completely permitted. Ah, very good. So Gemara says, Ubedinhu, as it said, this is not Milolibah. You don't even need this is. Ella, Kihecha de Lavilea Kera, just as a hecker, in case you're in an area where the water is not 10 tefachim deep, where this wouldn't work, so just type of a hecker. That's really it. But then, what about Rav Chista, Rabba Bar Rav Huna? What do they hold? Amri Ose Malkum Arba Umimala. They require you to build a plank that's 4x4 tefachim, so now you establish a Rosh Hashanah here. And he says, because he holds Kasavre Karmelis Misvas Mayim Ashkenin. It begins from the top, above the water. Below the water, that's a different din. On top of the water is where Karmelis begins. So since the boat, unless a boat is above 10, well, Ken, that doesn't help out, actually. It's because you're lowering either way. So either way, above the water, that's where Karmelis begins, until 10 Tvachim. So you're carrying from a Karmelis in the water, either way. And that for that reason, again, Karmelis Misvas Mayim Mashkenin. You start measuring from the top of the water. And Maya Ara Smicha, so the water is viewed as the ground now. And Ilo Avin Malkum Arba Kamatatal Makamas Lushus Yachin. If you don't make a Malkum Arba Arba, you're carrying from a Kamas of the water to your boat. So what does it help by building this plank? So the way it works is once you build the Rishis Yachid, we know that Rishis Yachid goes to Lamala Rakia and also to the bottom. So now I've got walls around this little Karmelis, this little Rishis Yachid rather. I built this plank out over my boat, and there are little walls here. Rashi says you need small walls. Tos says you don't need small, you need full walls. Rashi says you need tiny walls, that's it. But Tos says you need full 10 tefachim walls there. And then once you build the walls, that's viewed as going all the way down to the bottom as well, connecting to the water. So when I'm drawing water up, I'm actually drawing water that's in a domain of a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because it's right beneath my plank here, and for that reason, you'd be allowed to draw from right below there. We're going to stop here. Tomorrow's daf seems a little smaller, and we'll continue Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow. Everybody have a wonderful day.